Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Daily Doctor's Kitchen with me, your host, Dr. Rupi. I'm a medical doctor and cookbook author, and the Daily Doctor's Kitchen is a series of bite-sized nuggets of information all to do with food, nutritional medicine, and healthy living, taken from my main podcast, the Doctor's Kitchen Podcast. And if you want to learn how to eat well every day, check out my free recipes, books, newsletter, and download the app at thedoctorskitchen.com. So I've been doing some work as part of my master's in nutritional medicine at the University of Surrey. And one of the topics that I'm going to be doing my project on is the consumption of fruit and vegetables as a strategy. It's a very simple strategy to improve the health of the population across the board. And when you look at the 5-a-day campaign that I think everyone is very aware of, despite the popularity and the knowledge base of having 5 a day, the average consumption is around 3 portions of fruit and vegetables per day. And that spectrum is from 0 to over 5. And you look across different countries and their respective 5-a-day campaigns, sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 10. In the case of Japan, I think it's about 10 or 30 different species per week or per day. And the levels of consumption mirror that. So it seems as if, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth there, but one of the reasons why we might be seeing an increase of a whole bunch of different degenerative issues that you've just named there, like arthritis, cancer, and diabetes, of which cancer is the one that we're talking about today, could be in part related to the lack of consumption in combination with all the other features that we know that are important: sedentary lifestyles, lack of socialization, lack of exposure, lack of appropriate exposure, I should say, to UV rays.
The 5-a-day was just, you know, we've all sat on these committees and we've had, you know, supposedly clever people coming up with a figure. I mean, that's just an arbitrary number, which was based on, you know, could we initiate change? And there's no point being too ambitious, is it? Because people will just ignore it completely. But there's lots of work. There's a paper called Pierce, which looked at people who had breast cancer and looked at the level of fruit and veg they had a day. And there was benefits going up to, you know, 10, 15 different portions of vegetables and fruit a day. So 5 is a bare minimum. We would get much more benefit for more. It's whatever is achievable. But in Britain, we're not even achieving that. And I would totally agree with you. I, you know, if we were to, at a very young age, try to persuade our children and everyone else to eat much, probably double or even 3 times the amount of fruit and veg, more herbs and spices. Fortunately, in Britain, we had the Indian influx in the 80s, which brought herbs. Because, I don't think I grew up with a herb. I didn't know what a herb was when I grew up in South Wales. But as soon as I got to university, you know, it was curries every 3 times a week. And fortunately, those are very high in polyphenols. It's the herb side is improving, but the levels of vegetables and fruit is still quite low.
Yeah, yeah. And with regard to like herbs and spices and different polyphenols, so there are a bunch of different reasons as to why they might be beneficial from a cancer perspective, right? I wondered if we could just talk about the potential mechanisms by which polyphenols exert their anti-cancer effects, because I understand that, you know, there are direct and indirect mechanisms for those.
I mean, again, this is a big subject, and I've written a paper on it if anyone wants to read it. We try to compartmentalize research at foods into different categories, but they sort of cross over. We put it in order. So most polyphenols and phytochemicals have a prebiotic property. So unhealthy bacteria don't have the ability to use this breakdown product of polyphenols called butyrate, and they eat sugar. So if you have a lot of sugar and low polyphenols, it gives a state where the bad bacteria, for the sake of argument, will grow. If you have more polyphenols, they're broken down in the gut. They form this butyrate, which feeds the healthy bacteria. They also feed the healthy gut lining cells. So polyphenol-rich diet will feed the healthy bacteria, which will reduce gut inflammation. They then feed the gut cells themselves, which improves gut integrity and reduces permeability. And there's a phrase which some doctors like, some don't, called leaky gut syndrome. I think it describes it quite well. I don't know about you.
I quite like the term leaky gut because I think it really gives an idea in a patient's mind about what's going on. But I say to them, if they want to look it up in the literature, use intestinal hyperpermeability, because that you'll find more papers than that.
Absolutely right. So I'm all for sort of easier names to remember. So if you don't eat polyphenols, your gut health will get poor. You'll have an overgrowth of unhealthy bacteria. Your gut will become more permeable. So then, when you have other toxins in food, like the acrylamides or the polycyclic aromatic hydrogen, they're absorbed quicker. Now, when they're absorbed into your gut, this creates a state of systemic inflammation. And your immunity starts reacting to these toxins, a higher level of toxins. Now, the theory, for example, for type 1 diabetes is not proven, but is, you know, your immunity is fighting these toxins, which sometimes it thinks, which are foreign, but they're very similar to maybe normal gut cells. So they start attacking them, and as a byproduct of attacking the toxins, it then attacks the joints, the pancreas, causing diabetes, the heart, the brain. So this chronic inflammation is a very serious, over many years, is a very serious situation where your own body is attacking your own cells.
I hope you enjoyed today's Daily Doctor's Kitchen. The Doctor's Kitchen podcast is where I discuss multiple topics around nutritional medicine and well-being with experts and researchers from around the globe. And you can find me on social media at doctors_kitchen. Sign up for free recipes every single week at thedoctorskitchen.com. And don't forget to download the app. I'm Dr. Rupi. Have a beautiful day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.